Okay, first off, yes, success. I finally finished watching the 2009 horror mystery called The Shortcut. And man, I completely enjoyed it. It's a little silly, kind of slow, but the last 30 minutes of it are pretty damn spooky, and it has a surprisingly nasty little ending. It's well shot. It's got a great little cast. The lead actor is Drew Seeley. I didn't know much about him, but he has kind of a Joshua Jackson vibe. He's likable. And I hate James Franco with a passion, but this movie has his brother, Dave Franco. And Dave Franco can really deliver those comedic lines pretty well at times. He has a funny vibe. So The Shortcut is streaming or some shit, and I would say watch it. It was surprisingly enjoyable, even though it took me 2 weeks to watch it. So it finally happened, and Spotify pulled one of my episodes. The little crappy bonus one that had a bunch of my songs on it. At first, I thought Spotify maybe pulled the episode because the songs were so bad, but no, I guess because you can't play songs on a podcast. You can't use a podcast as a music distribution tool. And I stupidly called the episode an EP for thee, so that's probably what raised a red flag. You would think Spotify would have better things to do than to mess with my rinky-dink podcast, but oh well, never underestimate the pettiness of humongous corporations. Okay, let's see. On this episode of Brideshead Revisited, some more made-up movie quotes and scenes, some thoughts on Bill Belichick, and a visit from Shane McGowan, sort of.
You are my density. You are my density.
So at work, I'm often dealing with adolescents, and I find many of my references are a complete dead end. And it's like I often almost find myself saying, well, back when I was a kid, we didn't have blah, 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 or whatever. So I thought this line was kind of funny, like a really old guy speaking with a teenager.
You know, back in my day, we didn't have cars. We had horses. Big, dumb motherfuckers that shit all over the place.
So the other day I got home from work and I was kind of just decompressing, sitting on my couch in silence. And for some reason, I started thinking about Nick Nolte and his distinctively gruff voice. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when Nick Nolte kind of starts to argue or if he's like trying to explain or apologize, his voice like completely goes up in pitch in like a weird way. Now, this is going to be pretty hard to pull off. This may not work, but let's give it a shot. Why don't we? So here's a scene. Nick Nolte is drunk and in a shabby hotel room with his girlfriend. She says to him, "Why do you like me?" And he says,
"Why do I like you? Well, because you're a pig."
The woman starts to sob a bit, and then Nick Nolte says,
"I'm just kidding, babe."
"Hey, I'm kidding."
Does that strike a chord with anyone? Hell, I don't know. It's just like his voice gets totally,
"Babe, I'm kidding."
And then later in the day, I was thinking of, yes, you guessed it, Danny Aiello. And this also involves a Nick Nolte movie. Anyway, picture Danny Aiello arguing with someone in a pizza shop, and they are discussing what they think the best Martin Scorsese movie is, and Danny Aiello says,
"Cape Fear, by a fucking mile."
Which I kind of agree with. I love the B-movie schlockiness that Scorsese completely embraced with that film. And quickly, I noticed the recent passing of just one of those legendary badass real fucking men, Joe Don Baker. Yes, Mr. Buford Pusser himself from Walking Tall. And Joe Don Baker was also in the Scorsese remake of Cape Fear from 1991. Joe Don Baker just had the goods. I mean, he could be funny. He could be tough. Just an example of another guy that they just don't make like anymore. He's terrific in the flat-out masterpiece The Outfit from 1973, previously mentioned. And Joe Don Baker had a great little quote about acting. He said, "I did a scene with a girl, and she did most of the talking, so I listened." Come to find out, that's what you're supposed to do when you act, is listen. Wise words, and rest in peace, Joe Don Baker. And I was walking around on my lunch break, and someone in a nearby car was like confidently blasting the song We Are the World. And I was just like, that is such a bold move that I can't even touch it. It's like there's no pretense to playing that song. You aren't trying to draw anyone's attention. You just fucking love the song, so go for it. Well, shit, I guess this episode is going to be another one with a lot of quotes and scenes. It's just been one of those weeks. Okay, what the hell, another Nick Nolte scene. A grizzled, crazy-eyed Nick Nolte is in an eerie room talking to a bunch of alien creatures, and he says,
And you know I will never acknowledge that any of this happened.
And one of the creatures says, yes, we know. That's why we picked you. Okay, moving on. Picture Frank Sinatra playing at the Sands Hotel with Count Basie. Sinatra starts to sing.
Cauliflowers have magic powers.
And then we cut to Count Basie at the piano, and we see him literally say,
what the fuck is this shit?
Anyway, to wrap up a continuation from last week, I had sung a made-up Sinatra song called There's Something Beautiful About That. Well, I think I came up with some better, more clever lyrics. Oh, I'm a modern-day Cole Porter. Or Cole Hauser. Or something. I saw Cole Hauser in L.A. a million years ago. He's got an interesting, mildly dangerous vibe. But anyway, this is more of a Buddy Greco-style or Bobby Darin-ish song. But here goes.
You always spend your money if there's money to be spent. You always order filet with a side of mignonette. Your face is looking Friday, but it's only Monday, yet there's something beautiful about that.
Okay, a couple more scenes. So John and Scott are teenage buddies. John has been picking up Scott the last couple weeks to hang out, and every time he goes to pick Scott up at his house, he's noticed that Scott has been watching the movie E.T. like every time, and it's driving him nuts. So John finally says, dude, what's the deal with you always watching E.T.? Is that like your favorite movie or something? And Scott says, huh? Oh, no, I'm just really slow at watching movies. And John says, slow? It's been on the same fucking scene for 2 weeks. Okay, and this could maybe be a passable Saturday Night Live skit. Yes, that's a low bar. So we see a huge sign. It says, Baked Alaskan. And then we kind of widen up the shot, and you see the rest of the phrase, airlines. So it's Baked Alaskan Airlines. Get it? Okay, let's cut into the plane. People are walking inside. One passenger walks in and says,
excuse me, flight attendant, I've got seat B24. Where is that?
And the flight attendant says,
okay, B24, let's see that.
Wait, is that upstairs?
You know what, man, just sit right here. This is a cool seat.
And the guy says, okay, awesome. Okay, cut to later in the flight. The flight attendant says,
okay, people, I know everyone has a serious case of the munchies, but we are completely out of food. There's like nothing left. I mean, I may have a couple edibles in my backpack, but that's about it.
But we may be close to landing. I've kind of lost track of time. And then we hear the pilot on the speaker.
Alrighty, everyone, we are approaching our destination, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure where we are. But we will be landing in 5 minutes, and we will find a place to fucking party wherever we end up. Flight attendants, prepare for landing.
Okay, and let's unpack this Bill Belichick thing a little bit. Okay, yes, Jordan Hudson has probably always been lusting for fame, and maybe she's kind of losing it, but we all saw this coming. And maybe they could have kept this relationship more under the radar. But what's the point of dating Bill Belichick unless you can experience the stardom and the glitz? I mean, no one is going out with Bill Belichick because of his looks or personality. But man, the knives are out for Jordan Hudson. And she was in a Miss Maine USA pageant recently, and the public sentiment about her has just become pretty negative. I think she came in third, and she just had this disappointed smile, which was kind of heartbreaking to me. I mean, she may be a little nutty, but there's still a feeling human being underneath there. And you know who the real villain in this is? It's global warming. No, just kidding. It's Bill Belichick. I mean, yes, you are old and kind of gross, and this beautiful young girl is expressing interest, and you know the right thing to do would have been to turn down her advances. It's like, be a decent guy, be a fucking grown-up man, and just date someone a little older. And yes, whoever dates Bill Belichick at this point will obviously be interested in the money and not the man. But Jordan Hudson is just too young and was unprepared for the vicious media onslaught. Bill should have said, look, you're a pretty girl. Of course I find you attractive. But you know, there's just something not right about this. And I know how the system works. I can take a hit. But this whole thing could completely destroy you and crush your dreams. So keep doing your thing, keep dreaming, and it's been nice meeting you, but go live your life. Okay, so I haven't been drinking too much lately, a few drinks here and there, but I'm starting to think that I just need to completely abstain just for a while. Nothing crazy, I will drink again, but just take a dedicated break. I just have to listen to the God voice in my head saying, "No, my son, for right now, alcohol is not available for you. It is not allowed. For now, you are in the waiting room, and we will let you know when things change." And the only real reason I mentioned waiting room there is so I could mention the flat-out great song Waiting Room from the post-hardcore band Fugazi. This song was on their debut EP entitled Seven Songs from 1988. I mean, shit, Fugazi is legendary, led by Ian MacKaye. When I was younger, they would play only all-ages shows, and they would charge like only $5 for a ticket. I mean, Fugazi walked the walk and talked the talk. And Ian MacKaye was famously straight-edge, meaning you can be rebellious and weird and anti-authoritarian while also abstaining from drugs and alcohol. In fact, Ian MacKaye actually coined the term straight-edge, which was a song titled from his previous band, Minor Threat. And there is something to the straight-edge philosophy, man. Drugs and alcohol don't make you interesting or weird, or even rebellious. That comes from within, not from a pill or a powder or a liquid. So anyway, here's a little bit of the song Waiting Room. In the waiting room, I don't want the news. I cannot use it. I don't want the news. I won't live by it. Sitting outside of town, everybody's always down. Tell me why. Because they can't get up. And to close, yes, I love Fugazi, but I also like some popular stuff as well. And to me, the song Tomorrow from the musical Annie is as good as it gets. I was kind of singing the song on my guitar the other day, and I was like, you know who I would have loved to have heard sing this song is Shane McGowan, who died in 2023, the fantastically troubled but charismatic and one-of-a-kind frontman from the band The Pogues. Shane McGowan's voice had such a humanity to it, a sadness and a beauty. And the line from the song Tomorrow that always guts me is, "So you've got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may." And I've said that line to myself so many times, it's like, okay, I don't care how bad it is, find a way to get to tomorrow. And then tomorrow, find a way to get to the next tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So here's my imagined attempt at tomorrow in a Shane McGowan style. The sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow. You're always a day away. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're always a day.